All right, you let me know when we're starting, and let me know who's starting this show.
I'm starting the show.
All right.
Because I'm the big bamboo.
We've been using bamboo toilet paper lately. I don't think we're going to continue.
Not that kind of bamboo.
Okay.
wrong bamboo. I'm glad I used that image. That will last me through the rest of the show. Hi everyone, welcome to Sneaky Dragon, episode 109. My name is David Dedrick.
And I'm Ian Boothby.
And before we go anywhere, I just want to interrupt and say...
That's the way it's going to be. Dave, before we go into that, could I interrupt and say Happy New Year?
Oh, well, thank you very much.
All right, now back to your interruption, the first interruption of the year.
It seems that we've had a contest going for a while now, and we have forgotten to mention it for three shows running.
Right. So, Dave and I are going to be holding our breath for as long as possible during this episode. Whoever wins will win a trip around the world.
Is that right?
Yes. But in that trip around the world, we must discover three treasures or we must give the other person our immortal soul.
Okay. This is a different contest. This is our one topic.
Sorry, that's the contest we're having on Completely Beatles.
Yeah.
That's our other podcast. We got another podcast. We never do our plugs as well. So Completely Beatles is a podcast we got. That's when we got that contest going. Please listen to Completely Beatles. Please, Dave, back to your first interruption.
Back to my first interruption.
I don't want to interrupt you again, I would say Irrelevant Show has just come back on the air on CBC. You might want to listen to that. I've got two sketches on it on the first episode.
Yeah.
One is it's a self-checkout in heaven, and one is an Obi-Wan and Luke Skywalker scene. So anyway, I don't want to interrupt you any further. Dave, back to you, please.
Shouldn't put spoilers in your own sketches. So
that's just describing what's...
You kind of spoiled it. You should have just said someone in heaven,
Okay, well, it all is set up in the first 10 seconds. But anyway, please continue, Dave.
What I was going to say was that... What was I going to say?
We're going to say our contest.
Because we have a contest going on, which unlike the beginning of the show, which by the way, I'm hosting, so I'm the one who's talking and you're interrupting me. But anyway, enough of my petty, petty, territorial disputes.
Bourgeois.
My need to pee on every corner.
Yes.
My dog leg.
Which is why we always record this in a round room.
That's right. Because otherwise it gets really messy.
Right.
So we're going to be doing a show, and I think we had said we were going to do it right after New Year, but because we did not talk about it for three shows running,
understood.
I think that we should kind of bring it up again before we announce an actual closing date of the show we're going to do, the contest is we're going to do a one-topic, no-tangent show again. We did this one way back when in the 30s, and we had a terrible time doing it.
That's
so we thought, what the hell, let's revive the horror.
We used to have a show then called Camus and Candy.
Camus.
And we decided to do an Amos and Andy, but if they were white.
If they were white.
And people went, what's the point?
So
I sure do like mayonnaise, sir. Me too.
So what... So we've had a few suggestions from our listeners. One listener has suggested three different show topics.
What a suggestion hog.
Which you could say is cheating, but I'd say is smart. Because he and or she, I don't want to say who it is, Mary Hook. I don't want to say who the person who done this is, Mary Hook. But what they have done is increase by three their chance of winning the contest.
Right.
Getting their topic chosen.
Right.
Winning a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And some other crap.
Right.
And getting it sent to them in the mail.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's good for them. Now, so how would a person enter this said contest, Dave?
So what they can do is on our Facebook page, write in a suggestion. They can comment. They can write us a message.
Okay.
Or they can write directly to us on the website, sneakydragon.com.
Understood.
They can write in the show comments. Mm-hmm. And we're collecting everyone's comments. We have everyone's suggestions listed and ready to go into the hat for picking on the appropriate day. And what I'm going to say...
Do we have a hat?
We have a hat.
All right.
And what I'm going to say is that in our one topic, no tangent show, it's going to be show number 111. So not next week, but the week after will be our...
Okay. Now, normally we do no topic, all tangent. So
exactly.
This is the flip.
This is going to be a flip of that.
All right.
It's going to be one topic.
We'll see if that works.
One tangent. We've had a few very esoteric suggestions. They're going to be really hard. Mm-hmm. Those are not the ones that I want. We've had a few suggestions that are absolutely wonderful. And if one of them doesn't come up, I would like to do that just as a whole show. And we won't talk about it now, but when the time comes.
Oh, I see. You're building suspense.
I'm building suspense.
You're a real Hitchcock tease.
I'm a real Hitler. Oh, no, sorry. Hitchcock, sorry. I interrupted.
Did Adolf Hitler build suspense? Is that what he was best known for?
Mm-hmm. That's what he's trying to do.
Okay.
Well,
here's the thing about Hitler. He did a cameo in every war.
He did.
That he was involved in.
He appeared on various balconies.
Yeah. You got to really look for him sometimes, but he'll be walking like a German Shepherd past. And you'll go like, oh, there's Hitler. There he is.
That's right.
Hey, what's at the Arc de Triomphe? Oh, there he is. He's eating a baguette over there. There's Hitler.
Who's that man carrying the viola case? Oh, it's Hitler.
There you go. He's getting off a bus.
He's in Denmark.
There he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real Where's Waldo of its time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hey, Dave.
Where's Adolf?
Yeah, that's kind of speaks for itself. Okay, good clarification.
I was trying to think where's Waldo into Adolf, and nothing worked, and I just ended up saying it.
That's okay.
This is pure.
Dave, we both have horrible colds. Let's just say
I had a terrible cold.
Yeah, I'm still
floored by my cold.
I am knocked completely out. There is no reason for me to be here right now. I shouldn't be here. No, there's a doctor right now who's listening to this, going, "What the fuck is he doing?" And throwing up his hands and just going, "I've done all I can."
Yeah.
And the drag is he had his hand up a guy at that time. So throwing up his hands was the worst thing he could do.
Yeah, he shouldn't have put it in his mouth in the first place.
Yeah.
So, yes, topic, no tangent, one topic. Mm-hmm. Send your suggestions to us.
Please do.
Go to the website, buy shirts, like us on
Likeboard.
Likeboard.
Yeah.
Surfer.
Love us on Pinter.
That's right. Check out our Pinterest.
Caress us on Google.
Our recipe board on Pinterest.
Yes. Please fondle us on MySpace. Please do all the things.
Take a nap for us on Napster.
Please double poke us on Pokemon message boards,
mm-hmm.
and so on.
Yes.
And Dave's name on the Pokemon boards is Bulbasaurass, and my name is Pikachu. I got nothing.
Pikachu-thby.
Look, folks, I am sick today. Now, are you over your sickness?
I'm suffering from the lingering effects of it, but...
Okay, I've called an ambulance for you. You can hear it in the background.
Thank you. Everybody take a drink if you can hear that.
Yeah.
I got it on... Well, it's funny. The weird thing is I was fine.
Did you get it from your new dog?
I was fine. It's possible. I was fine all the way, like, through my holidays. I took some holidays over Christmas.
Right.
And I had the weekend, and then I was going back to work for 2 days. Well, 2 days, and then I, of course, getting the New Year's day off as well this week. So I was fine all that time. And then on Monday, the day I was going back to work, I just got hit by this terrible cold, like, just absolutely awful cold. And I had no energy at work. I basically sat at work, and as long as no one came in, I just watched Netflix at work.
Me too. What are you watching on Netflix?
I watched The Guard again.
Good one.
That's a good movie. And then I watched something else that is not The Guard.
Is it British?
It might have
been. Because it might have been British. You like The Guard, maybe you'd like this.
No, it was the second half of The Supernatural Season 8, which I have not seen. I've been watching Season 9. I've been watching season 9, but I missed the second half of season 8.
I've been binge watching The Good Wife, season 4.
Okay.
I've never watched any of The
Good Wife. They've really been pushing it on Netflix, so that's probably
why. It's pretty good, yeah.
I've been hypnotized by their headers.
I've heard a lot of good stuff about it. Yeah. I'm watching it, and I'm like, it's a good procedural with a little bit of soap opera. Mm-hmm. It works. Mm-hmm. And every episode you go like, they got that actor. That's pretty good. Yeah. Oh, I like that guy. Oh, that guy's in it. Oh, I like this. So it's been fine. Also, again, I've been very sick, so I don't know. I won't be able to remember these things. But you're right. It's a horrible cold. This one is just, it's not the flu.
It's not a flu.
It's not that.
It's like a flu.
It's just the worst cold.
It's like we have the flold.
Yeah, it's like a cold that just grabs you and smashes you to the ground and just goes, stay down. You know, one of those. Yeah, it's not good at all.
On New Year's Eve, I went to bed at 10. I went to bed at 10. I could not last until...
No.
And if you know me at all, you... For me...
if I don't know you by now...
If you don't know me by now...
You'll never
know me.
No.
But and that's all I know of that song. How about, do you know more of it?
If you don't know me by now, you will never know me at all. I am very small. I'm a midget. No, I don't know anything. Sorry.
Nice improvising
there. It was okay. And by the way, you could use the word midget back then. Nowadays, you got to say little person.
Little person.
But back then, it was all right.
Yeah. So normally I get a burst of energy around 9 o'clock at night.
Right.
Like my nap time of the day.
Because that's when you do your blow.
My nap time of the day is between 2 and 4. Like I could easily
You're a real
fall
Belushi.
I'm a real,
just an eight ball and up you go.
When I used to pick up the girls from school, I'd bring them home.
Uh-huh.
And then it would be around 3:30. And then they'd be like, oh dad, watch this cartoon show with us. And I'd be like, oh, okay. I'd sit down and they turn it on and I just like right away without. And it was just like that time of the day, I'm exhausted.
Now, was that just because they wanted to knock you out so they could do stuff around the house without dad knowing? Because no, it seems like if you know what sedates dad, that seems like a good bit.
That would be
good. And then right to the cookie cupboard.
They weren't at an age yet where cunning entered into their life.
So. Oh, too bad.
But I learned that I shouldn't The problem was, is then you feel guilty because Lisa would come home and I'd be sleeping on the couch. And then I just looked like a bum. Like, Dave doesn't do anything. He just comes home and sleeps.
Well, you need sleep.
It was my worst time of any. But as soon as 9 o'clock comes.
You normally get, what is it, 4 hours sleep a night? That's your norm?
6 hours.
Yeah, okay. Not enough.
No,
you
it's
need
plenty.
To sleep more.
That's plenty.
Again.
But when 9
Two more than Batman.
See, the problem is when 9 o'clock comes, I'm just like, bing, wide awake. I'm ready to go. I can stay up till 1 in the morning or whatever.
Right.
Like, no problem. But with this cold, 10 o'clock, New Year's Eve. Like, New Year's Eve, you should stay awake till midnight at least so you can phone people and wish them a happy New Year. Nope. 10 o'clock, crawling into bed.
It was a radically different New Year. You missed a lot. It was very different from every other New Year.
Is that right?
Oh, completely. I watched like the New Year's New York thing, and it was totally different.
You weren't sick yet then?
I was. I was sick. I was actually really woozy. We were watching Diamonds Are Forever,
That's a weird one.
It's a weird one. Here's the thing about Diamonds Are Forever. By the way, if you want a good James Bond podcast, the James Bonding podcast is one to listen to.
Not ours.
Well, we don't
talk
James
self-promotion.
Bond. We don't talk James Bond.
No, we never mention him.
But here's the thing about that movie. It's not great. But here's the thing it's got going for it. It's got two of the best villains, but then they go away. At the beginning
Crispin
of the movie.
Glover's dad.
Yeah, Bruce Glover, I think.
Yeah,
And then he goes away, and then you see him at the very end of the movie again. It's like, you lose the guy for like more than an hour.
Mm.
It's like, no, dude, you get the best. Mm. Get away. What are you doing?
It does have a few good things. And one was, obviously, people were excited by the return of Sean Connery for one more film.
Right.
That was exciting.
So they do the little teasy thing where you don't see his face for the first bit, and then there he is, and then he chokes a lady with her bikini top. Weird. And he slaps a lady later.
You know what? I haven't
weird.
Seen that movie. That's one of those films that I watched on a Boxing Day night after everyone had – we actually had it – it was one of our Dedrick Dave – famous Dedrick family Boxing Days.
Right.
And it was at our house. So after everyone had left finally and all the singing was done in the kitchen.
Right.
People had stopped.
Minnie the Mermaid has stopped
Minnie
being sung.
Minnie the Mermaid has stopped being sung. I'll Be the Son of a Bartender's Daughter. Over. And so I made some cheese and crackers and, you know, the sliced salami. And I took it downstairs and I started watching that movie.
Of course you did, yeah.
And it was one of the, I was quite young then. And it's just one time where my parents didn't come downstairs and make me go to bed. They just let me stay up. They went to bed. They didn't come downstairs and say, Dave, time for bed. Get upstairs.
Dave, they were making love.
Maybe.
That's what they were doing, Dave.
So.
That, Dave.
I don't want to think about it.
They were doing it.
No, ixnay.
Yeah.
My parents slept in two separate bedrooms.
Uh-huh. With a small hole in the wall.
I like to think. And so, they just let me stay up and watch it. So it was one of those kind of, so I have this sort of sentimental attachment to that film.
Oh, okay.
Even though it's such a weird, weird James Bond film.
Pardon my coughing. I do have a cold.
Sure, go ahead. I mean, it does have him, on two wheels driving a Mustang, Mustang.
Going down an alley on two wheels on one side, coming out on two wheels on the other side, somehow flipping the car.
Well, you know.
If you look at the DVD, which is what we did, they show you how they did that and why that happened. What we're saying, like.
So they reversed the film?
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
And it looks weird when you watch it in the thing. And that was the return of Blofeld. That's like him going after Blofeld because Blofeld just killed his wife.
So it's so unfortunate that George Lazenby wasn't in that one. It's ridiculous
but
that
it's
he
weird,
quit.
But
so
it's
dumb.
Weird that, he was told that these movies were the way out.
Yeah,
yeah man.
It wasn't cool.
Hey,
man,
you're going to blow your career. they have the two great villains, which are like, was it Mr. Kint and Mr. something else?
You got me, man.
But anyway, it's these two, fellas. And
like the last time I saw it, I was still being told to get to bed.
And they are, these fellas are clearly gay gentlemen.
Yes.
Something that, Mr. Fleming did not care for and would only make gay characters evil. These guys were really interesting. And then again, they vanish for forever. And the movie, like every James Bond movie, goes on about 45 minutes too long.
To be fair to Ian Fleming, he did go to public school in England.
Yeah, but he really goes for it. Like every character that's, gay in a James Bond movie is wahaha or is turned immediately by James Bond, gets a good, get a good bit of loving from James Bond and you straighten up and he also straightens the evil out of you too. By the way, when the gay goes away, the evil goes away too. And now you're a good person and here we are.
There's still organizations in the United States that will help you with that.
Yeah, they will.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah. Spectre, I believe, will help you with
that. Spectre will help you. Smirsh.
Yeah.
Also will help you with your homosexual inclinations.
It was funny watching it with my sister-in-law. She went like, oh, they should remake this movie and have Crispin Glover play that character. And I'm like, that's his dad. And what? That's his dad. Yeah, he's
very similar.
Very similar. Yeah, got a good creepiness to him. But again, they vanish, and that's not so good. The other weird thing is the villain, Blofeld, was in You Only Live Twice as a different character, which bothered me when I saw that movie, which also has Blofeld in it. And I went, oh, it's Blofeld, and he doesn't know it's Blofeld. And then the guy gets killed, and he's like, ah, he's going to come back, and it's going to be Blofeld. And it's like, no, it's a totally different guy. It's Blofeld. Well, then what the fuck?
Well, it wouldn't have made any difference because that movie came before Diamonds Are Forever.
I realize that. But you
it's
know
just
what?
You know what?
Give a little space before you have another guy come back as the main villain who was in a movie too.
The problem with you watching a movie is you're writing a different film while you're watching a movie.
Am I?
Yeah.
Well, when I know the actors who have played Blofeld and I'm watching a movie that
from
I know has
3
Blofeld
years before.
But when I'm watching a movie that's got Blofeld and I see a guy who played Blofeld, I think, well, this is Blofeld. Nah.
Yeah.
We just an actor we had show up and do a pit. All right. Gee. That'd be weird.
You must have a hard time watching British television.
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
Who's that new Doctor Who?
Yeah.
What? But that guy was the bad guy in the Torchwood. He can't be. Yeah. He's in the volcano one. He can't be that.
That's what I did when Star Trek Next Generation started. I was like, what is Sejanus doing on the Enterprise? This is all wrong.
Let me get to the internet. It doesn't exist yet. What? All right, I'll go to a bulletin board. Tappa, 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 tappa. This is going to take a while, honey. Tappa, 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 tappa. Now, speaking of Doctor
Who. Good call, eh?
Did you see the Christmas special?
I did see the Christmas special.
And your opinions on the Doctor Who Christmas special and the us losing Matt Smith.
Well, I have no problem with Matt Smith moving on. I mean, that's the nature of the role.
Mm-hmm.
The nature of the Doctor is people come and people go. But I don't like that they're holding fast to this idea of the limited amount of reincarnations. I just think there's some things that exist in continuity that you could just throw out.
Yeah.
We don't need to stick.
Well, it seems they have now gotten rid of that.
Okay, that's fine. And they
basically wave the magic wand and now.
Yeah, that's a problem though. They wave the magic wand rather than just discounting it entirely.
Doctor Who is all about waving a magic wand.
It is and it isn't. I mean, for one thing,
you've been a Doctor Who fan for a lot longer than I have. I came on board with Eccleston, really. Now you've been like you're long term. You're the fabulous Baker boy.
I'm a fabulous Baker boy. I love Tom Baker. But I was going to say that I don't think there's been any regeneration that's been the same.
You're talking about the regeneration.
I said it.
Regeneration.
I corrected myself.
Now, yeah.
I corrected myself.
All right.
My regeneration.
He didn't die before he got old, though. Matt Smith in this one.
That's correct. But Tom Baker didn't.
What's kind of funny about that is that it's the Who and it's Doctor Who. See?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, boy. It's a joke, son.
Yeah.
Huh?
Anyway.
I keep pitching him. You keep ducking him.
Do I ever.
Boy's about as sharp as a bowling ball.
So.
I've got a terrible cold, Dave. Uh-oh. You're looking at the computer screen like something's gone wrong.
We'll find out. It might be the weirdest sounding show ever.
All right.
We'll find out. So when, like I was going to say, I don't think there's been one regeneration has ever been the same. You know, each one has its own sort of, you know, look, and how they do it is different.
Yeah.
Whether you remember, I don't know if you know the Tom Baker one, but throughout the
I've seen them all.
Throughout the episode, there's like some sort of weird mummy-like thing that keeps appearing during the episode, and he sees it in the distance or whatever, and he doesn't really react to it. And then it, you know, finally when he falls from the tower when he's trying to do something with it. With the radio tower, it kind of walks over and then kind of lays down in his place, and then it reveals itself to be Peter Davison.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's totally unlike the later regenerations where they shoot all this
goo.
All this, I don't know if it's goo or light or whatever out of their arms.
Well, this most recent one was full of light goo. Yeah.
Light goo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, your Eccleston was just like a burst of light,
mm-hmm.
and that's into your Tennant.
Yeah.
And then your Tennant was, didn't want to go, boom, boom, blows up everything.
Yeah.
And now your Matt Smith is a complete light. I don't want to be gross, folks, but it was pretty much regeneration jizz.
Yeah.
Just goes flying everywhere.
A supernova of jizz.
Which is like blowing up spaceships and shit.
Yeah.
And so we got that business going on.
Yeah. Flip all the spaceships, but not the planet.
Though your John Hurt's into your Christopher Eccleston's, that was just a gentle changing. Just a little.
A wisp.
You know what? That's fine by me. That John Hurt's been through enough. He's had aliens burst out of his chest. He's had a hard time. I'm fine with that guy having a nice, gentle change.
Sure. He had to act in the Osterman Weekend.
I have not seen that.
It's a painful movie.
Very Holy good. Cow. He was in Partners, also a painful
movie.
That's
a painful movie as well.
Yes.
With Ryan O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Boy, that was quite a string of movies Ryan O'Neill made at that time. Remember the one with the see-through jeans? The butt, had the butt windows? Then he was in the boxing film with Barbara Streisand. Then he was he was in a movie as a boxer with Barbara Streisand.
Uh-huh.
Man, that poor guy. But I saw all three of those films in the theater. That's how slim the pickings were in those days. Holy shit.
Wow. Must have been a really sunny summer. You just had to get into the air conditioning.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You saw that movie like, oh, you mean the assless jeans? Yeah, I'm in. I'm going to go see. That got greenlit.
That's right.
That got greenlit. Some film, like there was this, and it's not like there wasn't any other.
Their names were attached to it.
Yeah, I know, but there wasn't any other movies that were around. Like, first of all, they had a stack of scripts. You can't tell me, like, he didn't have a stack of scripts. Hmm. And he went like, hey, this one about the transparent pants.
Yeah.
I'm in. Boom.
He
like,
probably
no
did,
to the rest. No to the rest, everybody. No to this Star Wars. Give me this one. Boom.
He probably did that Norman Mailer film around that time as well.
What was that one?
Tough Guys Don't Dance, some kind of name like that.
Oh, yeah,
it's one with the famous scene where he's like, oh, God, oh, man, oh, God, oh, man, oh, God, oh, man, oh, God, oh, man. Just like that.
Oh, nice.
It's quite a scene. It's when he realizes something, and he's on the beach, and I might be adding this, like I might be editing in my mind, but I think the camera kind of turns around him, and he's standing there, and he's just like, oh, God, oh, man, oh, God, oh, man, oh, God, oh.
I like it. I want to.
But it's Ryan O'Neill acting.
I'm betting so that's on YouTube.
Much less.
Nowadays, here's the equivalent.
Dynamic than mine.
This is the equivalent of that. No, 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 no. That's your Shia LaBeouf doing that.
Oh, okay.
By the way, we can talk a little Shia later.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Were mentioning
I
you wanted to talk
yeah,
about that.
Yeah.
Okay. So your doctor who's just going back to this. What'd you think of the episode itself?
Well, I didn't hate it, but didn't like it.
I feel like it was kind of a week ending to a week season to a week. Two seasons, two. I think what the problem with the Matt Smith run was, it was cool when he was being introduced. I like that.
Yeah.
And then we got into the doctor's gonna die, and I'm sick of that. Because we had with David Tennant,
it's not gonna happen.
I'm gonna die. Well, we had with David Tennant, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die. And then it was like, the doctor's gonna die and it's unavoidable. And then it's the doctor's gonna reveal this big secret about his past. Who cares? It was just all, to me, that's all just fan wanky nonsense. Just take me to different worlds, do amazing things.
Yeah.
And it just all read of like really, rough fan fiction. Like nothing was really added to the thing. It was all just reflecting on what was cool previously and way too much, seeing the old doctors, which, you know, I mean, that's a nice little treat. You know, that's like your once a month, I'm going to have a bit of chocolate, but don't have that every damn day.
Yeah.
Otherwise we're going to get bloated and it's going to be not a good show. Just add to it. And you know what? If I see those damn angels again, you know, just get lost.
Yeah.
Get lost. We loved Blink.
How about some new ideas?
We're done.
Yeah. How about some new ideas?
Yeah.
Well, I almost feel the same way about the Daleks. Like
the Daleks? You call them the Daleks.
Yeah.
Because they all have different dialects.
Exactly.
That's right. Hello, hello. I'm the Daleks, I am.
That's right. Exterminate. Exterminate.
Yeah.
Exterminate.
Hello, sir. Hello. Are you a human, sir? Well, I would like to exterminate you then, sir.
Why did I exterminate?
And so on.
Yeah,
Daleks have been Daleked out.
Yeah, I just... You know, after a while, like it's, you know, when you saw in the Christopher Eccleston season when they did the I dialect one, that was good. That was interesting. That was a new take on dialects.
Yeah,
and you enjoyed
like,
that.
Man, they're scary.
That was fun. Yeah. And when they went up the stairs, you're like, I got him now. Ooh, he's going up the stairs. Wow, that's a good twist.
Yeah.
Like that was fun.
It's a little bit of fan wank because the old thing is like dogs can go up the stairs, but you've done it. And there you go.
But I can honestly say that every recent dialect episode has been a major disappointment. That's Daleks in Manhattan, Daleks during World War II, this one with the Daleks in it, the Christmas episode.
Right.
Any others you care to name?
Well, you know, here's where I kind of liked it.
I do not
like
them.
I did like it when we had the Cybermen ghosts, and then you didn't expect to see the Daleks, and then the Daleks showed up. And then it was like Daleks and Cybermen. I was for that because they didn't really, you didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, these guys, like when you don't expect it. But like,
I mean, they were only there for 5 minutes of the episode, right?
Right, which is fine. That's what you want. You don't want a lot of Daleks.
Exactly. Because
you look at them too long and they're stupid looking. But you see them like quick and you're like, ooh, what's that?
Yeah.
Like this episode, he just shows up and it's silly and he can like dodge all their lasers.
Yeah,
and it's just like,
well, that's a thing.
Well, it's like you're surrounded by the Wolfman and Dracula and Frankenstein monster and like who cares, you know? And then they all are easily destroyed and it's like, well, who gives a damn?
Well,
the monsters are here and it's nothing.
It's my least favorite thing that happens in movies or television or whatever, where the characters are in a standoff situation. One of them, especially with one, doesn't have a gun, i.e., the doctor. And the other character has a gun, yet somehow they spend a lot of time talking, and the character is able to do something and talk his way out of it, or surprise him in some way. They have a gun. It just takes one press of the, you know, just pulling on the trigger one time, and that's the end of the situation. There's no, why are they waiting?
Well, here's
if you hear all these scary things about them, they're evil, that they don't care, they have no feelings, blah, blah, blah. Why are they waiting?
Well, I would say like,
shoot to kill.
Well, not even shoot to kill. Like, I would say like, if they're sadists, shoot to wound and then tell the plan. I mean, I don't mind someone shooting the guy and then when he's bleeding out, then going, what you need to know before you die is this. And then you can do the thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, you want to have, if he can easily go, whoa, 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 and do an Abbott and Costello out of there, who cares?
I just saw the film Red 2 over Christmas and,
I've seen that as well.
And I enjoyed it. It's a fun caper.
Yeah,
you know, it's a fun action.
It's like everyone's having a good time.
Exactly.
Everyone's having a good time.
That's what I wanted.
Maybe they're having a bit more fun than making it than we're watching it, but them still enjoying
it. I was over at a friend's, we were eating pizza and we wanted to watch a movie. That's sure not did. When you watch Atonement.
And both of your parents were upstairs and they're all having sex.
That's right.
So you're able to watch the movie by yourself.
So you're not, that's not the kind of situation where you want to watch Atonement or, or something like, you know, you want to watch
12 Years a Slave.
Yeah,
really,
you want to watch something goofy. So Red 2, perfect. But I preferred it to Red 1 because Red 1 has the dumb people talking with pointing guns at each other. Long scene at the end where it's 50-minute long sequence of explanations. Or if someone just one person shot a gun, the situation for them would be resolved. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So you like, say, a Reservoir Dogs. You like everyone actually shooting the damn guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even just the end of Red 2 where you have an actual conclusion that kind of makes sense, you know, that there's no need for him to shoot the person. He's already carrying a bomb that's going to kill millions of people. Get off my plane with the bomb.
It's a tricky business because what you've got with Doctor Who is you're making your villains, you can make your villains either scary or you can make them comedy relief. It's tough to make them both. And I think they're trying to have their cake and eat it too with that. So in this situation, you have comedy relief with the Cybermen and the Daleks and the Weeping Angels. And you got all that. And it's like, well, then, okay, we're not scared of them. So who cares? You know what? You're just setting it up and then, you know. I mean, the Cybermen especially are an interesting group in that they're not, they're people that were taken over. They're victims.
Yeah.
You know, they're actually sad. Like the Daleks, you want to blow those guys up, but the Cybermen, you wish there was a way to save them.
Yeah.
You know, but they're just the same. They're just a boo monster. And him getting old and all that kind of stuff just seemed, I don't know. It was just, And then,
though, they did the same thing in the Tenant season as well the one with the drums and with the master.
Yeah.
Where he ages. David Tennant character.
Oh, okay. I don't really remember that too much.
And remember he's in the birdcage?
Yes. Okay.
And you're
just
like,
right. Yeah.
WTF. OMG.
And then, it's okay. It's fine. But you
can, Raffle, which was the sound of me vomiting.
Yeah. You could do more. You could do more with that. And then you pull the heartstrings at the end and bring back the character and do the thing and do all this. And it's kind of weepy and it's there.
It's easy.
But what you feel is, it's basically almost like having a dog die.
Yeah. It's easy.
You're just like, it's just too simple. Mm. And then you just like, you could have done so much more with this guy.
Well, okay. I'll just say one more thing that was a problem with this. It was so fragmented that it never felt like there was any kind of story happening. It was so broken up. I just felt like I just had watched someone throw a million photographs into the air.
Right.
And I caught glimpses of things happening as they fell to the ground.
Right.
And that was basically how the show struck me. So when it was over, I had absolutely no feelings about it.
And I got no grounding on her character at all through all of this.
She is an absolute cipher.
Yeah, she's really trying. Like, the actress is trying. Mm. But like, so you were shat.
So was Matt Smith.
You were split through time and you were all this. Now, how does that affect you? I don't know. Now you're a teacher. Wait, didn't you go, like, do you remember all these lives? What's the deal? But you were, the guardian of these kids and it looked like we were bringing those kids into the mix for a while in that really weird, probably the worst episode.
Yeah.
You know, with the kids like on the field trip.
Amusement park.
Oh, the worst.
Yeah.
The worst. And then like, so we care about these kids. No, we don't.
Was it worse than the, no.
Yeah, it was. It was the worst.
It wasn't as bad as going into the TARDIS. I was looking forward to that episode. When I heard that they were going to have an episode exploring the TARDIS.
Right.
I was thinking like back to the Tom Baker days when they would like go into like a some sort of big factory or whatever and wander around and pretend it was the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Instead of this computer generated puke, this vomit colored garbage, that's what we saw.
Yeah, it got really stupid in CGI.
Awful.
Yeah, it was awful. But it didn't have annoying children. Just like just stating their feelings. Like, I hate
it
you.
Had those annoying...
I do not like you. Let me say what I am feeling exactly.
It had It had the annoying brothers, though, and that made no sense. That whole salvage thing.
Yeah, there was a lot
with the robot stuff and all that was terrible.
We're clearing out.
Now, badly conceived.
What I did like though about that Doctor Who though was I liked the actual change into the new fella. Like how fast that was.
Yeah.
It wasn't the. It was just like boom now.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, that was jarring and like creepy. Yeah,
that was
And I'm looking forward to seeing what he does. Good
me
actor.
Too. Me too.
It's going to be fine. Going to be grounded. We're going to get rid of that whole, oh, you're so handsome and dreamy. I want the companion wants to sleep with the doctor. Get that out of the mix.
Yes, please.
And moving on.
That should never be. That should never be. Here's the thing though. I love Stephen Moffat. I think he's written some of the best Doctor Who's.
Mm-hmm.
But he should be fired from Doctor Who.
Okay.
I just think that would be an improvement on the show.
Okay.
That's all I feel. I mean, I would love him to keep writing for it, but I just think the show needs a new producer and a new script editor and someone who has their hand on the tiller more.
All right.
Because I feel like his attention was divided between Sherlock, which we can talk about in a second, Sherlock, and maybe we shouldn't talk about Sherlock since it's not really officially.
Yeah, we can move. We can do Sherlock a little later.
Yeah,
we'll give everyone a week for Sherlock.
Well, wait till January 19th is when it officially comes out here in Canada and the States. So.
And you've got some Shia LaBeouf bashing to do soon.
I don't really have much, but anyway. So I was going to say, so I just think that his attention was divided between the two. And so he needs some time.
I don't think he has the right perspective on it. Like, I think he's very good at the cleverness and he's very good at the, you know, set this up and pay this off within an episode. Like, he's very good at almost mathematical, scenes. Like, he's really good at that. But I think in the overall arc, he doesn't quite get what makes a good, Doctor Who. And it's not having a crack in frickin' time and space that we're gonna like tease at the end of every episode for an entire season and then not be able to pay off at the end. It's not the doctor's gonna die. That's not what it's all about. You know, I just don't think he quite gets the heart of what, the doctor is. And it just became too fan wanky for me. Oh, are you looking something up on the computer box?
Yeah, I just wanted to, we're going to talk about something in a bit, I just wanted to have some information.
Very good. Yes. Anyway, I think it was too fanficky, which I think in general, Doctor Who is too fanficky right now.
Yeah.
Comics are too fanficky. Are movies in general too fanficky? Not quite yet, but they could get there. Let's be careful.
Yes. Just dying, don't worry.
That's okay. Truncate don't silence worry. Will take care of most
no,
of that.
No, it won't take care of that at all, because it's a loud cough, and I'm dying while I'm performing it.
Should I be vamping while you're looking this stuff up?
No.
Okay.
I was just fixing. I think, hopefully, that our sound will be good for the last part of the show, but I don't know. Now it's running better.
Okay.
Darn it all.
I'm sorry, folks, for the way Dave sounded for the rest of that show.
Yeah, it sounded like I didn't know what I was talking about.
Now, Dave.
Yes, sir.
There's a young man named Shia LaBeouf. There's a young man named Shia LaBeouf.
Yes.
There's a young man named Shia LaBeouf. What has he been up to? Go.
Well,
this is a new section on the show Dave has called Dick Talk, where we look at someone who's acting a bit like a dick, and Dave brings things up about that. So go for it, Dave.
Well, I think it's what I'm – there's a website called Bleeding Cool, which is like a comics news site. And apparently one of the editors was able to have a small Twitter conversation with Shia LaBeouf.
Why don't you give us some backstory on why he'd be doing that?
So what happened was Shia LaBeouf just released like a new short film. I don't know what it was
starring
called. Starring Jim Gaffigan, who is a very funny comedian.
Yes.
Very good.
And a good actor.
Hot pockets. Yeah, yep. He's also a good actor as well. And you're always surprised when you see him in a movie because you didn't know he was in it. And you're like, oh, that's Jim Gaffigan.
I'm like, oh, he's pretty good in this.
He's good for that guy.
He's doing a good job.
Yeah. And then, he did this short film, and then it released to some film festivals or whatever, and then someone said, hey, this looks remarkably like, a comic that Dan Close did. Dan Close, the author of, who did Ghost World and wrote the screenplay for Art School Confidential, and creates original works, is what he does. And so,
most famous for his comic book, 8-Ball, probably.
8-Ball, yeah.
Which is where Ghost World comes from.
And so, what Shia LaBeouf did was he stole this story by Dan Close, and he turned it into a short film.
Now, you say stole. Did he steal the plot or did he steal actual dialogue?
Everything.
He stole word for word.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm saying this because I want people to know. Oh, not okay. Because I do know.
Yeah.
I'm being a lawyer. I'm not asking a question that I do not know the answer to.
Okay.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I like your rhetorical question. Thank you. So it is kind of interesting. And before I think stealing's wrong. So I'm not in favor of people.
You don't like a Liechtenstein. Stealing. You don't like that. Do you like a Liechtenstein?
I don't mind that. If it's done in a different kind of context that has its own meaning, like he didn't take a whole page or a whole story drawn by, say, an EC Comics artist, a war comic, and then take that and present it as his own work.
Okay.
I think he redrew images from EC Comics or from other comics, and he blew them up as a single panel to give a comic a different context in a kind of fine arts way.
Okay.
To me, that's different, it's repurposing images.
All right.
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, lots of artists through time have, recreated, image or things that happened. Do you know what I mean?
In Liechtenstein's case, we'll just do this a little bit of a lead up into it. Liechtenstein did use panels from comics. And he repurposed them, as you said, and then would add like a little bit of text or something, and then they would sell for large amounts of money.
Yes.
Now, but these weren't public domain works; these were copywritten pages.
Yeah.
You know, they were.
He didn't photocopy it. He redrew it.
That's right.
Yeah.
But he's redrawing, something like if I redrew a Superman cover, can I just sell that as like my own?
I don't think you could, but it's possible that if you redrew an element of it, that you could.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. Yeah, but the argument was he's making money off another artist's work, which is basically he was attaching an idea to it.
He is like, and he isn't.
He's basically getting paid for giving an idea, attaching an idea to already existing art. Should the artist who drew it eventually or originally get money for it? That was the question in some people's minds. I do not necessarily. Like, I don't really have a problem with
it
myself.
What do you think of someone like Cindy Sherman, who, as I understand her photos, she restages noirish like film elements into new tableaus and takes pictures of herself in these.
Well, let me give you an actual one that I'm semi-involved in. My wife Pia did a comic book called Why the Last Man, and there's someone who's a well-known artist who has been repurposing images from that book into his art and selling that as his original art. Mm. And that, I know, again, like in just a broad conceptual way, I'm like, well, that's what are you going to do? But, there is a little bit of a personal thing that's like, hey, hey, I mean, I saw, Pia drawing this and her researching it and she designed this character. Mm-hmm. And now this guy is just taking it, basically drawing it exactly like she did.
Yeah.
And selling it as his own thing.
Okay,
because it's an idea, but he's throwing like an extra maybe idea onto it or something on the side.
Okay.
And now he's saying it's his own thing. And
it's tricky.
It feels geeky.
Obviously like anything that it has degrees of there's a relative degree of whatever to it. Whereas I can accept Liechtenstein. I actually have a harder time with Peter Max, who I feel, wholesale ripped off, like, from Zap Comics and reused a total style in a fine arts context.
But you can't steal a style.
You can. Well, I mean, you can and you can. I mean, that's the thing,
I mean,
right?
So many people have, like, stolen Kirby's style and used that in their art, but you can't copyright a style.
Yeah, yeah.
You can only
copyright. But that feels more creepy to me than for someone to, like, wholesale, like, copy, trace, Kirby into comics, and then that feels scummier than what Liechtenstein did.
Now you in your let me throw a finger at you your title cards,
there you go, here's an example of someone pointing back at themselves.
There you are. Now you got, say, a while back you did a Spider-Man cover that was like with Sneaky Dragon. You took I think it was issue 6 of Spider-Man where he's fighting the lizard,
yeah,
and you took the lizard out and you put in your Sneaky Dragon and you redrew the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now would you feel comfortable selling that as a piece of art that you've done?
No.
You would not feel comfortable doing that.
I wouldn't.
I would say that's not a problem.
Really?
Yeah, I would not. I would not say that's a problem because you've so changed it and so recontextualized it. Yeah, into a silly thing. Like, here's the thing. If I saw someone, like, take Action Comics number one.
Mm-hmm.
If there was someone and it was Superman and instead of the car.
Oh, I've done that cover as well.
I understood. But let's say instead of the car, he was smashing the Beatles' yellow submarine. Mm. And it was all the Beatles running out.
Yeah.
You know, instead.
That's a good idea.
That's actually not a bad idea. But if it's the Beatles running out.
Yeah.
You know, I would not have a problem with that because you've slapped another idea onto this and changed it enough that I think it's fine.
Make instead of Superman, have it be the big blue meanie doing
well,
the smashing.
There you go. You've got your cover for this week's show. All right. There's your title card, buddy. Have at it. Have fun.
Oh, that'd be fun to do.
Well, yeah. you pick them.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I got to go.
You cough. So, yeah.
Dave, why do we smoke these giant cigars while we do the show?
Listen, it's to give us authority.
Yeah,
it has
look like big shots.
Look like big shots. and the phallic thing.
That's right.
Like
that. Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's another big part of it for us.
That's why I'm wearing my sausage hat.
You never do a show without it.
That's right.
The authority and the phallic. It's a good question because I do feel guilty sometimes that, you know, because often I am for the last one I did, I actually wanted to redraw the whole image, but I just took I screen grabbed this an image from the Walt Disney Christmas Carol.
Yes.
Of Goofy as Jacob Marley pointing down at Ebenezer, or at Scrooge McDuck as Ebenezer.
Right.
Scrooge. Pointing down at him, and I erased Ebenezer or Scrooge McDuck from it, and I replaced him with Sneaky Dragon in a similar pose. And, you know, and I feel kind of guilty with that because really I just feel like I'm just ruining someone else's stuff. Like I'm just adding my own junk to what they've, you know, to their own art. And if I don't redraw it, I do have a kind of a sense of just, I'm just exploiting someone else's hard work, for my own amusement. And why I didn't redraw the whole thing was because, as you know, my computer died.
Yeah.
And so my Photoshop was gone. Everything that I used to do the art was gone. So I had to, I tried to reload my own Photoshop onto the computer, but it wouldn't work. It wouldn't accept it. It said that all my files were corrupted.
Oh, okay.
So I couldn't use my Photoshop. So I had to, get a new one and put that on the computer. And then I discovered that the new Photoshop, here's a new thing for everyone. In case you didn't know this, the new Photoshops don't work with old scanners. If you have a scanner that uses the Twain system of communicating between scanner and computer, the new Photoshops and Illustrators do not communicate with the old scanners.
That's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So you have to use your, you have to, you could, well, you can either use your, the scanner, what would it be? Software itself.
Yeah.
And scan, do that way. Or you can use a WIA connection. I upgraded my printer scanner and it happened to have that. So I was able to still kind of use it through Photoshop, but not as nicely as I could before.
Right.
I didn't have the kind of options that I had before. So yeah, it kind of stinks. But anyway, so, that took me like, it's the usual thing.
A fortnight.
It took me 4 hours to get all that
hours
done. Okay. So, you know, by the time I was actually getting down to drawing the image and stuff, it was four
in
the morning.
You didn't have to make any excuses. It was fine. It was fine.
Yeah, it was okay. Fine. It was okay. I just would have, this is more fun for me to draw those things.
I have to tangent for just 1 second though.
Sure.
And we're going to get back to Shia LaBeouf. Don't you worry about it. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to get back to
it.
Yeah,
we'll get back there. Or not.
But, when you were talking about Scrooge McDuck, it just made me think like Scrooge McDuck is Donald Duck's uncle, right? And also the uncle of Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Yeah.
I guess he's the great uncle of them. I'm assuming, because
he's great.
Donald is the uncle of Huey, Dewey, and Louie, and Scrooge is the uncle of Donald, so he'd probably be the great uncle. I'm just thinking, like, did they change their name legally from McDuck to Duck? Because Donald Duck, or did a duck and a McDuck marry? And at one point, I'm just wondering if there was an Ellis Island type situation where they came and like, I'm McDuck, nobody, you're Duck from now on in.
Yeah.
And they just had to change the name to Duck. And he's like old school, so he never changed his name, as Donald's father was probably forced to when he swam over from the old country.
That's a good question.
It's an excellent question. Okay.
I think it's on the mother's side.
Could be. So probably a duck and a McDuck got together.
Yeah.
I wonder if they had I wonder what the root word of duck is. I wonder what her nationality was. There is a giant family tree of the duck family that I could look this up.
Is there?
There
someone
is.
Has done that?
Yeah, someone has done that.
Oh, okay.
And it goes all the way up and you get to see where they all go.
Okay.
Shia LaBeouf. And we're back.
Yeah, so
he's word
taken
for word.
Word for word.
And it's a film about a film critic.
Yeah. I haven't read the story because it was in like, an anthology and I've never seen the film either. So I can't really comment either way.
Now, Shia LaBeouf is a known Dan Klaus fan. He has stated that he enjoys Dan Klaus's work.
Okay.
Recently he got into self-publishing himself as a cartoonist.
Okay.
Shia LaBeouf we're speaking of.
Yeah.
So he is aware of Dan Klaus. This isn't a coincidence.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, this film comes out and there's no credit to Dan Klaus in the film.
What's weird is that he didn't approach him and say it. So anyway, so
now, I don't buy any of this, by the way. I will say that off the top and I'll get back to that later. But please present your point of view first and then I'll go on to what I think is going on.
Okay. So now this interviewer talked to Shia LaBeouf.
Rich
Johnson, his name is, and they talked over via Twitter. And so, you know, he asked him some pretty simple questions.
By the way, David is having to use my mouse right now on the computer, which is the worst mouse in the world for anyone that is not me.
So now, Shia LaBeouf said is that what an artist does is point at things and say, look at this. Rich Johnson said, well, actually, I think that's more of a critic's role is to point at things and say, look at this. I think you'd say that for both of them. I think an artist can point at things and say, look at this.
Well, I think the critic
kind of
points
weird...
second, though.
Yeah,
the artist goes, this is this. And then the critic goes, oh, really? Because I think it's this. And that's the critic.
So,
and then the message board goes, fag. And that's the message board.
So Shia LaBeouf makes a bunch of statements via Twitter.
All right.
And these are some of them. I'll just
say
one of the ones that are interesting. One, he says, art is a lie that makes us realize the truth. That's actually something that Picasso said.
Okay.
He says, in the 21st century, there is no personal language, just personal selection of language. We are products of editing, not authorship. Appropriation has been the most influential theme in art since the 70s.
I think before the 70s.
If you look at Warhol's work and say, oh, well, he didn't paint that. It's just silk screens. You're missing the point. Our notion of genius, as a romantic isolated figure is outdated. An updated notion of genius would have to center around one's mastery of information. That's actually a quote from a different author I don't know his name.
Okay.
And he also says, it's the 21st century, thug life. So there you go.
Okay, that makes me laugh. All right, go
ahead. And art wants to be free.
Sure it does.
So
he's talking about Art Garfunkel, who Simon, Paul Simon has had trapped in his basement for quite a while.
Sorry, what's that?
Oh, Art wants to be free.
Art wants to be free, that's right.
Yeah, Paul Simon has trapped Art Garfunkel in his basement. Art says he doesn't want to go on tour with him. And it's like, well, when you do, I will free you.
What's funny is due to auto incoherence, it's actually came out as it wants to be fee.
Oh, so he wants to be paid.
So
that is thug life.
Rich Johnson says, as for it wants to be fee, is that a Freudian slip? Information may want to be free, but should the author be able to demand a fee?
Ah.
And Chaya says, authorship is censorship. Should God sue me if I paint a river? Should we give people the death sentence for parking violations?
Okay.
I don't know what that has to do with anything, but. And then, Rich Johnson says,
that'd be weird if God sued you, though. Because God would have to, one, go to court. He would have to swear on a Bible. And could God swear on a Bible? Because he's swearing to himself, right?
Is he?
Yeah. Look, the only time I've seen God in court was in Oh God with George Burns.
Yeah.
And that was pretty funny.
That's where we got our cigars from.
That's right.
Young said the only way to achieve true selfhood is to create what no one but you could possibly create. And all the other stories are just guides to get us there. This is Rich Johnson quoting. He says, I think God's rights to rivers have entered into public domain now. And then he says, I won't bring up the parking violation thing. I think it's nonsense. So LaBeouf says, the word law is against my principles. The problem begins with the legal fact that authorship is inextricably bound up in the idea of ownership and the idea of language as intellectual property.
Okay.
Language and ideas flow freely between people, despite the law. It's not plagiarism in the digital age. It's repurposing. Copyright law has given up on its obsession with the copy. Someone says that's Lawrence Lessig that he's quoting. The law should not regulate copies or reproductions on its own. It should instead regulate uses like public distribution of copyrighted work that connect directly to the economic incentive copyright law was intended to foster. The author was a person who had been authorized by the state to print their work. They were the ones to be held accountable for the ideas. And then he says in all caps, the first laws on authorship were used to censor and persecute the writers who dared publish radical ideas.
And then when was that? What is he talking about?
I'm not too sure what he's...
All right.
So then Rich Johnson points out that Shia LaBeouf has made a lot of money acting in copyrighted material. Mm-hmm. Like, he's, you know, he's a millionaire because he's acted in material right. that was distributed as copyrighted material and sold, you know, as copyrighted material. And
right.
people paid to see him in it, etc. He says, I never asked to be paid and never profited off anyone's back. Acting is plagiarism like magicians. We tell you we're going to lie to you.
One more time on that. He never asked to be paid?
I never asked to be paid and never profited off anyone's back.
That's untrue. He hired someone.
Wait.
Go ahead.
We can talk about it after we finish reading
all
this.
All right. Okay. Go ahead.
Since we've already gone this far and not gone into back and forth on it. And then he says, can acting be plagiarism when it's being conducted with the author owner's approval, when they're credited as author owner, when they're paid as author and owner? You have an agent. You have lawyers. Don't you pay them for you to be paid on your behalf? Aren't you outsourcing the request to be paid? And he says, when you apologize, Shia, is that the truth? LeBou says, I am very sorry. I have agents to suss up material. I have a lawyer to get me out of jail. Nothing is original. Creativity is just connecting things. And that's where the conversation ended.
Okay. I agree. The creativity is connecting things. I agree with that part. All right. I don't kill anyone. I just hired this guy to kill someone. So what's the deal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sidestepping that he's doing here.
Right.
I don't think he's being honest. Now, I'm of two minds of these. I know I have lots of problems with these things because I am sympathetic to Negative Land, who got in an awful lot of trouble from U2 for repurposing a U2 song. And I can't remember all the facts. I used to know it by heart 10 years ago, but now I can't remember it as well as I used to.
I enjoy I think it's Girl Talk. He does a lot of repurposing as well.
Sure. And he takes other artists' work and he mixes it up.
Yep.
And
could not possibly pay everyone for the amount in his songs. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was the same with rap, you know, like when the Beastie Boys did Paul's Boutique. If they'd had to pay for all the samples that they used for that, they did kind of bankrupt themselves, because that's why when they did the follow-up album to Paul's Boutique, which was, people are going to be mad at me for not being able to remember. But anyway, when they did the follow-up album to it, they basically did it as with their own music. They played their own instruments and stuff and rapped to that. They did use a little bit of sampling on it. There's a sample, I think, of Led Zeppelin in it. But mostly it was just them playing their own instruments, because that was much cheaper to do than to pay for samples.
Right.
You know, and Paul's Boutique was just a sample heavy, just crazy oversampled album. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of scaled it back for what are you going to do? Oh, it has a name like that. I can't remember what it is. So sorry.
And now the surviving members are currently upset at a toy company for repurposing their song for that line of girls construction toys. Ironically. Oh, okay. Ironically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Repurposing man.
Because
the person who passed away in his will stated they didn't want any of his songs to be used for advertising in the future. And the argument on that side is, well, we rewrote the lyrics to it. We've redone the song and flipped it. So it's not the song that you did.
Yeah.
So technically it's not. So da 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 da. Anyway, that's their argument. Back to Shia.
Adam Yoke. Well, I mean, it's very tricky.
It's a lot of gray.
It depends how much money.
There's a lot of
gray. It depends how much money there is behind it and what they want to do. I mean, when Neil Innes wrote the music for The Ruddles, all those songs, he lost all copyright for those songs to Northern Songs. He was sued. And rather than...
Who are Northern Songs?
They own the Beatles
songs.
It's not the Beatles themselves. The Beatles do not control their own songwriting. Right. But the company that, Northern Songs, the company that owns the Beatles songwriting, sued Neil Innes.
Right.
Or sued the record company, sued Neil Innes. And rather than pay out and pay for the cost to defend the copyright, they just gave Northern Songs ownership of those songs.
Does that mean that Neil Innes could do these songs live in concert in the future, or was he banned from doing
those?
Sure,
he can do the songs. He just gets no money for the songs that he wrote.
Now, you probably don't know this, but when they did the most recent Ruddles, you know, Archaeology. Does he own those songs, or do those as well go? Are those Fruit of the Poisonous Tree? Is he making more poison fruit?
Once again, he does own those songs, but what happened with that was because Eric Idle threatened to sue him for doing Archaeology, it was not promoted and he made no money from it.
Oh, okay.
Because it never sold. Like, there was a publicity campaign planned.
Yeah.
But because it got wrapped up in court, the record company once again kind of quashed
nuts.
It and snuck out the back door. And if anyone got a CD when that was going on, they're lucky.
Now, here's my thing.
So that's a brilliant album.
I like it too. Here's my thing about this whole Shia LaBeouf thing. This is what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really what I feel. This is bullshit. This is a lie. This is a hoax. It's made up. This is crazy bananas. We're in Joaquin Phoenix territory.
Okay.
There's no way that you just completely lift from a cartoonist. When you're a cartoonist,
yeah.
You don't do that. You know. And now every apology he's made has been, something that he's taken from someone else.
Okay.
It's an art piece.
Yeah.
Like, I think at the, you know, like,
well, this is what I was hoping.
Either Dan Klaus is in on it with him,
yeah.
Or he is just completely going with this as some crazy art piece and going, every response I'm going to make, I'm going to steal this response,
yeah.
In responding to this response about plagiarism.
Yeah.
I'm going to plagiarize all my apologies, and we're going to see how far this fucking goes.
Mm.
And in this way, maybe my film will get seen.
Yeah.
So that's what I think it is. I think it's just, it's not, I had no idea. It's a mistake. And because I can't possibly think that he is mistakenly now using quotes over and over again and no one's going, hey man, this isn't going well for you. Like, he gets it. He must.
Well, I hope so. I really do. I really do hope so. And I always,
it's incredibly silly.
Because I'm an optimist, because I'm a glass half full person. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm actually a glass all full person. That's how I am.
Really?
Yeah.
You should try some of the stuff in the glass. It's delicious. You must be a very thirsty man.
It's
a man with a glass full is very thirsty. Has not had anything to drink. You're not enjoying life, my friend.
Well, the glass is maybe half water and all rest oxygen. It's always got stuff in it.
Oh, I
right?
see what you're saying.
Yeah.
What if you're in outer space?
Then I'm dead. So, and I'm not worried about that water because I'm not drinking nothing.
All right.
So, what I'm hoping, because I felt the same way when the actress Amanda Bynes was going through her little issues,
and now,
unfortunately,
what was that
it
again?
Turned out badly.
What was that?
She had a drug breakdown.
Yeah,
and she was doing a lot of like fun tweeting and a lot of fun selfies and shopping and acting like a nut. And I was just hoping, like, oh man, I hope she's having fun, like just wearing a crazy wig and just goofing off and playing a character for a while and just going with. But turns out it was probably that she had kind of lost the plot,
which
is sad because it would be cool if, you know, someone just kind of did like a fun gag where, you know, they're like, I'm quitting acting. I'm just going to start, going to take all my money back from my parents and I'm going to have some fun with it. And, you know, and just put on a crazy wig and do a lot of nutty selfie shots and say a lot of goofy stuff on Twitter. And yeah, that would be awesome.
Now, I would like
turns out not.
Now, again, I haven't seen the film and I have not read this comic strip.
Hmm.
Is the stuff that, and so you can't answer this because you have not seen this either. Is the material within the film and the comic strip? I know it's about film criticism and Hollywood and how things are marketed. Is this a commentary on that? Like, because that seems like it would make sense.
Yeah.
It would make sense. You do this, you let the system take over, you let Twitter go nuts, you do little interviews where you're obviously setting yourself up for a fall and people being outraged, and here we go. Let's go cuckoo bananas and see what happens. That does not seem like something, say, a Dan Klaus would not do. This does not seem like something that Shia LaBeouf would not do. And again, it feels Joaquin Phoenix-y, you know, when he was growing a beard, going on Letterman and being nuts.
Could be. I mean, I hope so. I hope it is. Because I hate to see people get in trouble and make things bad for themselves.
Yeah. I mean, in general, here's the thing. There was a cartoonist who, when we were downloading, like, we both saw Sherlock. Now, and we live in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason you and I should have seen Sherlock.
No.
We shouldn't have.
No.
We're not British gentlemen.
We're not British gentlemen.
Oh, we wish we were. We would be proper. We'd be drinking tea.
That's
we would
right.
be, you know.
Get rid of these stupid cigars.
Absolutely.
We'd have tea instead of.
Absolutely. We would. Cucumber sandwiches and whatnot.
Sure.
But both you and
love
I.
Cucumber sandwiches.
Were able independently to appropriate a copy of this Sherlock.
Yes.
Through means that are.
Not necessarily. They're kind of gray.
Kind of gray area. Mm-hmm. We watch it in black and white because we're watching gray area. now this cartoonist that I know from England vehemently says this is something you should not do. You're taking money out of the mouths of artists. You should never, ever, ever go to torrent sites. You should never illegally download movies or TV shows. It's reprehensible behavior. Are we both reprehensible human beings? David, we have copied something that we legally shouldn't have.
Well, we certainly...
We're not repurposing it. We're not dubbing our voices over it, and we're not releasing it.
No.
But we are watching it, and now we're talking about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Are we bad people?
Well, yes and no.
All right. Asked and answered. Thanks for thanks for listening to Sneaky
Waffling. Sneaky Waffling. Well, my feeling, I mean, I'm very strict about those sorts of things.
Right. After you do this, you flay yourself with a cat and nine tails.
I agree with him up to a point.
What is that point?
My point is that I feel like television is, we see for free. And so I don't feel as guilty about seeing shows that I can't see in any other way via that way.
Well, you would be able to see it if you were patient. If you were a patient gentleman,
a patient person,
and decided
yes.
to wait a month,
yeah,
you could.
That.
Oh well,
not gonna happen.
So your point that you that
the
you,
point is
though, you will not steal,
yeah.
except if you have to wait.
Am I
in
stealing?
In which case,
because if I waited a month, I would see it for how much would it
you,
cost me?
Okay, I'm not gonna. All right, let's not say well stealing. All right, let's take the word steal out. You are illegally obtaining this,
yeah,
and you are okay with illegally obtaining
yes.
this merchandise,
yes.
Because if you didn't, you would have to wait a month
yes.
for it.
I know.
How's that?
That's
that
what
feel?
I said. It
Take
isn't,
that
it isn't.
To your church and run that
it,
by.
It is and it isn't. Take that to your God, Dave.
And God goes, I'm busy.
I'm busy.
This
yeah.
in no way no bothers way. Me. I've
Come
got
on, you
no
guys.
Problem at all. There are murders. There's gravity I've got to take care of. There's a meteor heading towards Earth. I've got to deal with this. I don't care about copyright issues. Stop bothering me.
But I won't download music.
I've got a court case apparently that I've got to get to.
I won't download movies. Like I don't.
You won't download music.
No.
Okay.
Never.
What's the difference between music and television to you then?
Because I have to pay to hear the music that I hear. I have to go to Amazon or go to the local books or local record stores if such a thing existed still.
Okay, but what if you
buy the music?
What if you couldn't access it? Say that this album that you really want is only available on Amazon UK, or it's only available on iTunes UK.
Well,
it's not downloadable. Like
that's
many
not an
things.
Excuse. I have because of I love French
coughing.
Sure, go ahead. Because I love French comics, I have had to buy. Bande dessinée from Amazon France and have it sent to me here.
That's an option. If that was not an option, would it be okay?
You mean so it's totally unavailable in every other way, but if I download it.
Let me give you an example in my life.
Okay.
All right. David, I make my living writing comical books.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of the books that I write is Futurama.
Yeah.
That series has since gone off the air.
Yes.
But for the last couple of seasons of Futurama, they've been available in the States about 6 to 8 months before they're available here in Canada
okay.
to watch.
Okay.
So I have no way of watching the show,
yeah.
and I'm writing the comic. There's things that happen in the comic
yeah.
that I would need to know what's happening in the show in order to make my living writing the comic.
Mm-hmm.
Is it then okay ethically for me to go to the internet and download episodes of the TV show?
Well, it's funny that you say that because
by the way, I will let me also say
yeah.
later on I will buy these on DVD.
It's funny that you say that because I have a friend who writes for Futurama comics, and often he wants my opinion on them.
Oh,
but I don't get them fast enough. So what I do is I illegally download BitTorrents of the comics themselves.
All right,
and just get them for free so I can read them.
This is an interesting point.
And then,
because the comics actually aren't available in Canada. They aren't. You can't.
Okay.
You can download a Marvel or DC comic, but you
yeah.
can't download a Bongo comic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can't. That's an interesting. That is an interesting point.
I'm just joking, of course. But once
but
again,
you do have access to the comics because those come out the same time around the world.
I gave you my own pass in that I say to me it's okay to download a television show because they're available for free for us to watch.
I didn't. You're not paying the say in England. They pay the TV license for these things.
Yeah.
People are paying for them.
Mm-hmm.
We are not.
Yeah.
So, they have purchased these things for a small fee.
Yeah.
But we have not purchased them.
We will, because it'll be on Netflix.
Well, but that's your choice to have Netflix or not.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I have Netflix. So
you're right. Eventually,
I do pay for,
eventually,
for
this was always my argument with this. Like, back in the day, my wife and I would download Doctor Who because Doctor Who would come out
yeah.
earlier in England than it would here. And we tried to be good people
mm-hmm.
in the past, but then things like Doctor Who magazine would come out and go like, Rose is gone. And that'd be the cover story. And we're like, we didn't know that because that's months down the road.
Yeah.
And then with the internet, everything gets spoiled.
Yeah.
And so we went, listen, this is our moral thing that we're going to do. As long as we purchase it on DVD afterwards, we don't feel like ethically we have a problem with downloading it because
yeah.
we're getting a copy of something that we are going to later purchase.
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel if you have something that you own that you, like you could make copies of your own thing for other computers or, you know, for yourself. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like us having a copy of something that we would later purchase would be okay.
Yeah.
So that was our way out of that hole.
Okay. Well, that's one way of looking at it. I just feel like I say, it's just, and when you ask about music, I have downloaded music. I have lots of bootlegs of the Beach Boys or Beatles, that aren't available legally. I
right.
have those on, You know, I have like hours of Smile sessions on CD that I have downloaded. I also bought the $125 Smile box set when it came out with a lot of that material on it.
Right.
So that I had it and, you know, I actually had it, you know, because I'm a person who likes to have the artifact, you know, and so that's important to me too, to have the book and have the covers and have all that sort of thing as well, you know, so, so I have done that. I mean, I've downloaded, I have the Stooges, Funhouse 7-disc session set that.
But you will also, you will also purchase the actual items though when they come out.
That's right. If it was available, I would buy it. It went out of print.
Yeah.
You know, it was a limited release and it went out of print. And so the only way I could get it to hear it was to download it.
Well, I mean, this is one of the arguments is there's a financial loss to the artist when people illegally download things. And I agree there could be that. But I think for the most part, if you have enough interest to download it, you know, that kind of thing. You probably have enough interest to purchase it in whatever form, you know, the fancy form is.
I think that's less the case with generations that are people that are younger than us. I think that's
well, with the generations that are younger, I think they will go to concerts more, and that's where artists will make their money off. Like my general feeling about most of this is I'm fine with all of it. Like I'm really fine with it. Download that. I think
that's fine.
Yeah, I am though. I'm like download it because I think in the long run the interest will and I don't mean interest financial interest. I mean interest that you build up in yourself will pay off. You know, I always look at Russell Peters, and I think I might have told this story before, but you know, Russell Peters right now is one of the most successful comedians, if not the most successful comedian working in the world. The guy makes more money than Robin Williams with his stand-up tours. And he had a special on CBC TV, Comedy Now, that you could not see in the States.
Yeah.
You couldn't. Mm-hmm. And people that liked
it was very special.
It was very special. People who liked him took it and put it on YouTube, and Comedy Now, the CTV Bell Media, tried to take it off. They kept taking it off and they kept putting it back on. But it became so successful, these clips, that he became a star from these YouTube clips. And if copyright was in effect, he would not be successful today. He'd still be like just touring Canada.
Yeah.
So I look at that kind of thing and go like, oh, yeah, technically you're right in that people are stealing this, that they don't have a right to it, but it gets the person's face out there in front of an audience that wouldn't see them otherwise. And there you go. And when it comes down to comics, which is kind of my business right now, I got a little bit of a sore spot in that comic books currently cost like $3.99 or $4.99 for a single issue of 22 pages.
Too much.
But what is too much? You know, I think that is too
$4.99.
Yeah, I think that's way too much.
Yeah.
You're right. But here's where I really think it's too much is every time comics have gone up in price, we've always been told, well, the reason the price is going up is because the cost of paper is outstanding. And it was true. The price of paper was going through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And then later the price would go up and they go, look, gasoline. The price of gasoline's gone up crazy. What are we going to do? And then it was like, well, the price of like storing these things, you know, and this and so. And it was all practical reasons for the price going up. So nowadays, where you can get the same issue downloaded digitally, they're charging the same amount for a physical copy as they are for a digital copy. Well, wait, man, I'm not paying for gas, and we're not paying for paper, and we're not paying for storage. Why am I paying $4.99 for the same thing over here? Yeah. Are the artists getting that money? And fuck no, they're not. You know, it's just like that money's going somewhere. So I feel like the system has been corrupt, you know, up until this point. And that doesn't mean you can steal everything you want, but it means that there's a problem right now. And what they're doing is they're trying to keep the price the same so that comic book stores don't go out of business, which to me is price fixing, which to me is wrong, you know. And so what you're going to get from that is people don't have $5 to spend on a 22-page comic, so less people are going to read comics. So my job is going to go away unless there's a way of digitally getting things to people in a more straightforward way. And if that happens to be people swiping issues until we get this mess sorted, I'm kind of okay with that. And I agree with Nina Paley and her little song, Copyright is Not Theft, which I'll put up on our site.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Copyright is not theft.
Copyright is not theft because when you copy something, they're stealing a car and I'm going to take your car. If I duplicate your car and I drive away in a car that's exactly like yours, I have not stolen your car.
Okay. Okay.
It's made one thing more.
Yeah.
It is not stealing. Then you should not compare those two. It's a very different thing. And it's something new. But that's the world we live in now.
It's not new at all, actually, because they're, you know, like Charles Dickens, when he was published, when he was being published as an author, he made no money from the books that were sold in the States. There was no way for him to get paid. They just published the books. They made the money on his work.
Right.
So the publisher in the United States published his, you know, whatever, Great Expectations.
Yeah.
Made the money for Great Expectations, but he did not pay the author for the work that he was publishing.
Right.
To me, that's wrong.
He screwed him over, yeah.
Yes.
That was a bad deal.
That's a very bad deal.
That was a very bad deal, yeah.
But there was no copyright in force in those days.
Right.
So there's no legal way for Charles Dickens to stop them from doing that.
Now, here's my question about that. Like, of course, Charles Dickens is not immortal. But, like, if copyright was in effect, would his books have spread as quickly? Like, because it,
yes.
you know, would they have?
Mm-hmm.
If they had to pay him?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine then.
Well, yeah, they would have because, you know, he was a very popular author. He was a very talented author.
Okay.
I don't think there's...
Well, it seems that's just an author getting screwed. Like, I think...
Well, but it wasn't just him, but yeah, he was an example of someone who was not getting paid for the work that he's published.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it took a long time for there to be a fairness in how artists were paid for their work.
Yep.
That took a long time. And now
I'm all for artists
now we're
paid.
Seeing that break down somewhat in, you know, as we go through a new way of how art is being disseminated.
Yeah.
Now, so it probably will, there'll be some sort of stability and will, you know, people will be getting paid again. But right now what's happening is some people are getting paid a lot.
Yeah.
And lots of people are getting paid nothing.
And then there's this new thing where you can just go to the people who like your work and go, can I have money? And people will give you money. If they like your work.
I guess that's a thing, but I mean, is that a constant thing or is that a novelty thing?
Who knows? It's new.
Yeah.
You never know. But I think
it's a novelty thing.
I don't even, you know what? I'm going to err on the side of it not being novelty because I think that's a real good system. Like, I think, like, if there's someone who you like, say, I'm blanking on this, Brian Wilson. So Brian Wilson has a Kickstarter mm-hmm. and he goes, I'm going to do this new album.
Yeah.
And you like Brian Wilson. You may kick in a couple of bucks to make the Brian Wilson album happen, and maybe you get a little extra something.
Probably not, but okay.
Okay, maybe someone who would. You know, but I think, like, if he wants to do something, he could either go through channels, or he could go through this direct market right to the fans.
Yeah.
And I think, like, he would immediately have the funds to do the work that he wants to do, and there you go, and there you go.
That's possible. And I think, if that's true, then what really needs to happen is for someone to step in and become a Kickstarter agent. You know, like a company that does Kickstarter campaigns for people, for artists.
Oh, I'm sure that exists already, probably.
So artists aren't worrying about this sort of thing because that's why you pay 10% of your earnings to people who help you to, you know, to book,
gets,
do the bookings
that
and things
gets
for
rid
you.
Of a little bit of the heart of it, you know, which is, the people having a direct contact with the artist themselves. You know, that's what people are kind of paying for with the Kickstarter.
Well, that's really hard on the artists then that they have to
get money out of it. So,
yeah,
you know,
they get money out of it, but not only do they have to do their art, but they also have to be a salesman.
Well, they don't have
and
to.
They invite people to
choice.
Their home and
no,
shake
traditional,
hands with every person.
Yeah, no,
that
there's
they meet
a traditional. No, you don't have to do that. But there's a traditional way of doing it. And if you want to go through traditional systems, they are still there, buddy. Like, knock yourself out.
Not really.
Ah, well, there you go. Why
not
aren't?
Really.
Well, they're not there for a reason, too.
Yes, they are. They're not there for a reason because
right.
the way that the internet works, it's broken down the systems.
Yeah, the internet and then other reasons too. You know, I mean, it's,
such as.
The other reasons too.
Yeah, the other reasons.
The other reasons
other
are
reasons.
Money is too that the cost for CDs and that kind of thing is too expensive for what they are. You know, when
the cost in stores is too much for
what
they are. I agree with you. Yeah, that's a reason. Sure.
Yeah, we got a similar thing to the comics where when CDs came out, it was like, well, this is so expensive.
Yeah.
When the cost goes down, I swear we're gonna reduce the price.
No, totally.
They never fucking did.
Oh, you're right.
So yeah.
No, that's true. That's true.
So the problem is like when the system itself has been corrupt for so long, a la mm-hmm. comics or CDs, mm-hmm. then when all of a sudden the corruption is on the side of the consumer probably doesn't feel as guilty when Fat Cat McGee's been doing all right for so well. Now, admittedly, the artist usually gets screwed on this deal.
I was going to say, the artist probably wasn't doing
the only person that does well in this kind of stuff is the middleman.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying like with comics, the shopkeepers are growing fat on the land, you know, right now. I mean, it's tough for everybody, but I think like the whole system is a little bit fucked right now.
What I think is interesting is, like in country music in the 80s.
We said we'd never talk about country music on this show.
Too late.
All right.
In country music in the 80s, the record companies actually cut back on how many songs the artist got paid for on an album. So let's say you wanted to do like a 14 song album.
I'm Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
And I want to do a 14 song.
So Dolly does a 14 song album.
All right.
But she's only getting royalties on 10 songs. The other four songs.
Does she get to pick those songs? Does she get to pick the... Whatever. Like, I'm not going to get... Well, I want royalties on Jolene.
Well, I'm just saying on an album.
Okay. Like, but do I get to pick, like, this... Like, do you get to pick...
Well, she only wrote Jolene once, so was she going to put it on another album? I don't understand what you mean by
that. Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you meant, like, if I've got 15 songs on an album, I only get royalties on 10 of them. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, but of those 10 songs, do I get to pick the 10 songs I get royalties on? Well, that matters. Like, I want to get them on the ones that we think are going to be hits.
Sure, so you can do that, but you don't know.
So I'm getting I can just throw the five Drek songs onto the no royalties.
Okay, you could do that, but then you'd be a fucking awful artist, and that's not Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton, every song in there would be a gem.
Okay,
right?
But you know which ones are your lead songs.
Whatever, you're still putting four songs in an album the record company's not paying you for.
All right.
Because they're dicks.
I know, you're right, they are being dicks.
Yeah.
I'm just going...
I don't understand, you're weird. Well, that's fine, because then I can choose Jolene.
No.
Well, yeah, you can choose Jolene. I mean, that's going to be the big hit song.
You
still have four songs in there that you're not getting paid for.
It's a dick move, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm just wondering if you get to pick.
That just seems so weird. Yes, you can pick, I don't know.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm
like,
sure you can.
You're the Beatles, and you can either get the copyright on Twist and Shout, or Boys, you know, and you want to get on Twist and Shout.
You're not going to get it on Boys, because it's not your song.
Oh, okay. But your version of it, you'll get on your version of your song.
I don't know, I don't think so.
I don't know what we're talking about.
I guess we're just talking mechanical.
Some shit. We're talking some shit.
Or you'll get mechanical, but you won't get the writing ones.
Fair
which
enough.
Is better. The writing money is better than the mechanicals you get because for albums sold they got half a penny or something like that.
Here's four of them. I think generally what ends up happening is you get a system in place. Middlemen find out how to game the system. Middlemen get fat. Eventually you have to ditch those middlemen and you have to start something else or get a different angle on it. And that's going to be the chaos period. And the chaos period is, I don't know. And that's not going to be ideal.
Yeah.
Obviously it's not going to be ideal because it's new and there's going to be problems. Then someone's going to find out how to game that system and they're going to get a middleman and that person's going to get fat. And then you're going to have to fucking ditch that person.
But if there is a middleman, like I would use that for Kickstarter. I would hire someone to run a campaign for me, put together a video and take 10%.
Okay. Then here's, all right, don't.
People don't have to know about it.
Yeah, okay.
Well, they think it's you.
Right, okay. Yeah, well, you know? And I'm sure that does happen. Otherwise, yeah, I've seen some horrible Kickstarter things where you just go I'll just talk directly to the fans. And unfortunately, then what you hear is what the person thinks of their fans.
Yeah.
And you go like, oh no, you don't know how to talk to people. Whoops.
Exactly.
Here's what you want to do if you're going to do that business.
Mm-hmm.
You want to say you're Dave Dedrick.
You're going to start that business.
You're a young, no, you don't want to, well, you don't know how to do it.
I'm going to start it. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Well, you can go into the hot air balloon repair business too, but then people are going to crash out of their balloons.
You know the old saying, those who can't consult.
All right.
Okay.
Good. I'm going to steal that. Put that into my book of quotations.
Sure.
No, here's what you'd want to do.
Yes.
All right. So you're Dave Dedrick. And what do you make?
That's true.
Tell me your product. Is it going to be a comic? Is it going to be an album?
Yeah, I'm going to do a comic. I'm putting out my second issue of Rounders finally after 400 years.
All right, sounds good. I want to see what happened to those characters. I'm assuming they all died. And it's all just a graveyard.
It's a timeless thing. They haven't aged a day, unlike their author.
Okay. By the way, here's something this is a complete side thing, but I thought would be a fun thing to do. And you can only do it now that everyone's got enormous beards.
Okay.
Okay, what you need is you need to get guys who have grown these huge beards, and you've got to go to a park. And you've got to have like a jug of root beer next to you. And you've got to wait till people go by. And you got to pretend you've just woken up from a 20-year sleep. And just go, what happened? What year
Why
is it?
A jug of root beer? But you just mean like one of those
because
big...
Because Rip Van Winkle, when he went to sleep, he was given the root beer. And the root beer was what knocked him out.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It was root beer.
Yeah. Well,
I was supposed to have a different root beer in those days.
All right. It was the kind that would knock you out for 20 years.
Yeah, apparently.
But just pretend that you were like in the past and then just panic, go up to people asking what year it is and just feeling your beard like you've aged. Anyway. So
did you ever read Trixie Belden?
Or no.
Did your sisters ever read Trixie Belden?
No. What is Trixie Belden?
Oh, it's kind of like Nancy Drew, only it's based in the Hudson River, like the Hudson Valley area where Rip Van Winkle stories took place. But it's more like kind of 1950s, that time. And they're very horsey. Like they're for girls who like horses. But so that's like,
nice.
So obviously my wife loved them and the girls read them as young girls as well.
Cool. All right. And are they connected with Rip Van Winkle in any way?
They're not, but they do mention it. So you get a kind of, it's kind of weird.
It'd be funny if the horses just jump over Rip every so often because he's still sleeping. And they're like, should we wake him? Nah. Anyway. All right. So Dave, you're making your rounders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the first thing you're going to
want. I'm making my rounds.
Now here's what you want to do.
Yes.
You want to go to, your Kickstarters.
Yes, I do.
And you want to see who has done a similar book to yours, who has had success in that book.
Okay.
Now, you want to approach that. Maybe that would be our friend David Lasky.
I'm thinking that. Yeah, David Lasky.
You want to go to David Lasky and you want to ask
his
him.
His book on the Carpenters.
Right. You want to ask him for advice.
Yes.
And maybe, here's what you do. You slip a little David Lasky a couple of bucks and get him to, like, do this thing with you. A
couple of bucks?
Yeah, because he knows.
I'm going to turn into the genie.
I'm just telling you what to do. What you want to do is you want to find someone who's done it before.
Yeah.
Get their advice.
Yeah.
Maybe slip them a couple of dollars.
Sure.
And get them to help you along. That's how you do it.
But why don't
go to a Keith Knight and go like, hey, Keith. Well, by the way, Keith Knight has published a thing on how to do Kickstarter.
Yeah.
First of all, try to get all the free information you can.
It sounds like a lot of work.
No, you have just to read one fucking page.
It's easier just to hire some people. Give them 10%.
Oh, man. You
and
are,
let them do all the
you
thinking.
You are a dream. You're a dream.
Why?
That's beautiful. That's what you want. You want to be the guy. You want to be the guy who like looks at his plumbing and goes like, too hard.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care how much money I got to throw at a guy. I just want him to take care of
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Actually, I'm totally the opposite of that, to be honest.
That's what I mean. Like, who is this guy I'm talking to? Who's Moneybags McGinty who's just like, I don't care, blarg.
You know what I
do? I don't want to read a page. I want to spend money instead.
You know what I did on Monday? I put a new screen in Lisa's laptop. The screen got stepped
so
on.
So like a
broken.
Screen door type screen?
No, no.
Keep the mosquitoes out of it?
The screen.
Yeah.
Look at.
Yeah. It'd be funny though if it was a mosquito.
It would have been a funny mistake if I'd made that. And she went to use it. And she said, Dave, you just put a screen door on my computer. But look, it closes perfectly. See, and it latches too.
There's a little mail slot there for your
That's
email
right.
at the bottom.
Isn't that great?
Open it up. There comes the email out.
Isn't that great?
Oh, it's beautiful.
And then when you want to send me the lawyer's letters of our divorce, then you can send them with email through the screen door.
That's right. That's how that works. All right. I'm just checking on our time. Well, Dave, we're almost coming up on an hour and a half.
Oh, really?
Well, it's 1:25.
I guess I should have looked at the time on the
machine. That's okay. We got into a heated discussion about copyright.
Yeah.
Now, how do you feel if someone steals these podcasts and repurposes them for songs or such?
Whatever they can get out of them, they're welcome
I'm
to
fine
it.
With it, too. I'm absolutely fine with it. Most stuff that I do, I'm okay with. Like, yeah, just take it and do whatever you want with
yeah.
it. I think in the long run.
We haven't been able to get anything out of this. Let them try and squeeze blood from this stone.
Wouldn't that be really disturbing if you actually did get blood
actually
from a stone?
Get blood from a stone?
Yeah.
It would be kind
like
of disturbing.
Just working at the old, the yard and hitting it with a hammer. And then just blood just spurts out of a stone.
Awesome.
Disturbing.
Awesome.
And then you see the one guy go, oh, and you know, he's the vampire. That's how you spot the vampire. He gets excited.
Yeah.
Well, you always got to do that when you go to prison. There's always going to be like one vampire there.
Stupid vampires.
Yeah. Well, that's a good place for vampires in prison because you don't get a lot of sunlight.
I'm sick of them.
He's the guy who's always in solitary. You got to watch out for that jerk. Anyway, we got to wrap this up. I'm betting that my sister-in-law is probably at my apartment right now. She's now hooked on The Last of Us video game.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's a really good video. Oh, my gosh, Dave. Yeah.
I'm sure I could ineptly fall and die many times over.
Oh, it's so good. I tell you. But if you're a dad, it's a rough game.
Okay.
It's a rough game.
Okay.
You know, it's really like, boy, it's a dad game. Holy cow. Anyway, so I'm heartily recommending that. Oh, but speaking of video games, I'm doing a show soon called Minus World at Café du Soleil. I'm not sure. I'm looking up at a calendar that doesn't exist.
Okay.
I'm like a cat that's looking behind you at a ghost that doesn't exist. Anyway, I'll put up some information about that on our page.
Need me look.
It's improv, it's video games, it's combined.
Mm-hmm.
And as always, the last Wednesday of the month, I'm doing Critical Hit Show.
Yes, you are.
I've got a couple of comics out from Simpsons in the Bungo Comics. Go pick those up. And my
that's
wife,
nice
Pia, just did a comic with our friend Gail Simone, Lisa Simpson's comics, and that just came out.
Oh.
So why not pick that up as well?
That sounds fun.
There you are. Anything else we should plug? One more time, we'll plug our contest.
Yeah, let's plug our one topic, no tangent show, which will be coming up not next week, but the week after. So if you have an idea or something you'd like to hear us talk about for an entire hour, that's 60 minutes. That's going to be the limit of the show. 60. We'll do the introduction. We'll start the timer and then we'll finish at 60.
Sounds great.
And we're going to be on one topic for one whole show. And, there's some topics I'd like to talk about that we've been given and some I wouldn't. So, boy, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be interesting.
Yes.
All right. Thanks again for listening. But, Dave, you got to wrap this one up.
I do have to
again,
wrap
I apologize
up.
For all my coughing. Hopefully next week I will have shaken this cold.
Yeah, I doubt it. I cough, too, so sorry about that. And I also would like to apologize just in case that at the beginning of the show there's some clipping. Because, unfortunately, what happened is I had two major programs running, which I didn't realize, on the computer.
Right.
That were sucking processor energy. And maybe we were sounding like... is, well, the O is owing. So,
well, we were clipping and we're clopping because yes, we also had a pony in the room.
That's true.
That was one thing Dave didn't want to tell you was he's looking after a pony. Every show, that's Dave right, adopts a new animal.
Is this Al Capone, the one you brought up before?
Oh, I like Al Capone.
Well, you know, my dog.
Yeah, but I like Al Capone. I know, but I like Al.
You said that before. That's a joke you said a long time ago.
Well, about a pony?
You said Al Capone, yeah.
Oh, wow. I was very clever back in the day.
What happened to those days?
I like my old jokes.
What happened to the
I should listen to these shows sometime. That's good stuff. Al Capone. Good stuff, Ian. Well done.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Oh,
well, everyone,
man,
thank you for listening to the show. I hope you enjoyed Ian's fruity tones with his deep, deep voice. I mean, fruity tones in the sense of like,
homosexuality.
That's right.
Follow my nose. It always knows the way to a glory hole.
I meant fruity in the sense of rich and, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sorry, everybody.
No, don't be offended.
Because, you know, homosexuals are rich because they don't have kids.
Well, did you listen to that podcast?
What podcast is that?
It's the Freakonomics radio podcast. Is like, are gay men rich? They go over that stereotype and see if they are.
No, I didn't hear that one.
Yeah,
I doubt it because there's probably other things to spend money on that are just as expensive as kids.
You should give it a listen.
Like dogs.
That's right.
Or ponies.
Why not adopt a new dog every day?
That's right.
That's what Dave's doing. Every day, a new animal.
Yeah,
he's being a real Noah.
We had 14 people at our house last night for dinner. And Al Capone was really good. I was really happy.
Good. Well, I mean, if you want to get rid of them, it's always a good way to get them out.
Or two youngish kids. My nephews were there. And they were a little scared of him at first because he is kind of a scary looking dog.
Yeah.
But he was really good. He was really, really good. He got kind of hyper near the end. Lisa took him for a walk and he barked the entire time. She took him for a walk. We could hear him in the distance barking down the road, disappearing.
And then when he gets back to the house, he stops barking?
Yeah. Yeah. He was just so excited. He just couldn't help himself.
Oh, bless him.
Yeah, he's fun. So, he can't stay with us though. Cause our cat cannot come in the house.
Oh, is that what's happening?
Oh my gosh. I'll just tell you this one little story.
Is he trying to eat the cat? That does happen.
We went out for Christmas dinner at my brother-in-law's cause they were going away for the Christmas.
Okay.
So we went on the Saturday before Christmas and we came home. And we could hear all this.
It sounded like you ate at your brother-in-law's house because he was away.
Yes,
so you just
right,
broke into the house and ate.
Don't you ever do that?
Yeah,
we know the code. We know the security alarm code. So we went into the house. We could hear all this barking going on downstairs. And we're just like, oh no. So we went in and they were in the back room and Lisa had piled a bunch of the Christmas decoration boxes in there because we have our Halloween decorations,
right,
and then behind them go the Christmas decorations.
And then the Guy Fawkes decorations.
And then the Guy Fawkes decorations. So rather than put them back and forth, you know, and we just keep all the Christmas decorations in the room until Christmas is over.
Yeah.
So we went in there, and they had Risa, our cat, trapped under the bed,
oh,
and they'd been barking at her probably for 3 solid hours.
Oh.
Both dogs are totally hoarse from barking for so
oh,
long. The one, Al Capone, was so hyper, he drank water and just threw it right back up. Like he was just so exhausted
from
barking,
terrorizing.
From terrorizing the cat. His nose was all scratched up. Thank God. And, then we coaxed Reese out. We got them away. We coaxed Reese out. She was covered in her own urine. She had just coated herself in urine. And she just looked like this cat had been drowned. And she came out and she was purring though when I was petting her.
Yeah.
I was petting her.
By the way, purring isn't always a good thing.
Isn't it?
No, not sometimes. Sometimes a cat can be purring and they're upset. That's a sign they're upset.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there can be negative purring as well.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe she was negative purring at us.
Could be.
Kind of like, why did you leave me alone?
Let's just say there was positive though, because
they had smashed all these Christmas decorations, destroyed boxes in Lisa's office where she keeps all her pony club papers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because the cat was jumping up on things. She had knocked down all these file folders of paper.
Right.
And the dogs had helped by spreading it all over the floor and tearing stuff up. Tore up her some of her notes that she uses for teaching the kids were all torn off of.
Now can the dogs fit under the bed?
No, so she was safe from them there.
Yeah, I was just lucky.
Yeah,
otherwise that cat would be dead.
Oh, I don't know. I don't.
Yeah,
know.
It would be.
I don't know if they were trying to kill it. You think?
I don't think that they would know the difference.
Yeah, that's a problem, right? Yeah, if they think they're playing and they're really being mean.
They're roughhousing. Yeah, you got a real mice and men situation there.
I mean, there are other places for her to hide, like under the couch and stuff like that, where they couldn't have got to her. But
yeah,
it was not pretty.
Yeah, it's not good.
So, I mean, she's been living outside since Al's been with us. Since
little
that
bindle
time.
Sack, yeah, a little tent in the backyard.
Well, she has a brindle, so
okay.
So she has her brindle sack.
Brindle bindle.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Yeah, it's sad. So like when I'm out in the studio working, she'll come and join me there
and shrug her shoulders and go, "Eh? What, how long's this bullshit going on?
What the fuck?
We had a deal, Dedrick. We had a deal."
So she'll sit in my lap, but she's been in sort of outside indoor cat for a while.
Yeah.
So, but she'll sit in my lap and purr, and I'll pet her, and then she'll sleep on the chair with me. But she won't come in the house as long as.
No. Well, would you?
No,
there's a monster in there. Are you crazy?
It was terrible. I feel so bad.
If you're living with a minotaur, you wouldn't go in the house.
So I think there was sort of a, not with me, but I think there was a strain of thought that we would keep Elle.
There was a strain
after,
of, we were told that last episode.
That we would probably be keeping
him. Yes, that was told.
And I think that that's not going to happen.
Okay. Let me throw this out there.
Sure.
Like you're not doing a good pitch on this
like
dog.
Like a bone.
All right. How old is this dog?
I don't know. He's still quite young. He's like 2 or 3.
Okay. Really lovely dog. Aside from that?
Super well-tempered.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. We got quite a few listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about this dog is not good with cats. But this dog is good with kids.
He was okay by himself with Risa. Like they were coexisting okay before that.
All right. But let's just say you're not a cat dog.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for a dog,
yeah,
we may have a dog for you. So
Depends what happens with Big Steve.
Yeah. If you're in the BC area and you're looking for a dog, it's a friendly dog, but it's just not great with cats.
Yeah.
It needs attention. It's excitable, but it's a happy dog.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe give us a little bit of a word,
and
we might be able to hook you up with a dog.
Yeah, I like him. I like him quite a bit.
He's a real good dog.
I'll be sad to see him go, actually.
Maybe Dave will come by for visits. You know, you like Dave on the radio here?
Yeah.
Maybe Dave will come by for visits and he'll tell you a story.
Let's not turn this into a Kickstarter campaign.
You were kicking the dog out or campaign.
So now that we've gone a full 4 hours,
okay,
let's draw the show to a close.
Should old acquaintance be forgot?
And never brought to mind.
What? Oh, I completely forgot about
it. What are you saying?
Huh?
The silence.
I don't know.
Okay, everybody. Thank you for listening to our show. And
best to you for the new year.
Best to you for the new year. Have a wonderful 2014. And keep on listening to Sneaky Dragon, the show that never gives.
What?
I don't know. It sounded good until I said it. And then I thought, well, that's the wrong. Never gives a damn.
You know what? I think that's the motto for our show in 2014 is this sounded good until I said it.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye. Good night.